Welcome to World Ocean Radio. I'm Peter Neal, director of the World Ocean Observatory. Recently watching a YouTube video of a tourist ship battling 30-foot waves in the Arctic, I could not help but think of the thousands of seamen who had faced such conditions over time, the fear that skill, experience, or just plain luck might this time not see them through. This ship survived, but many thousands of their predecessors did not, and their hulks lie everywhere across the world ocean floor as a form of cultural residue, fragmented bits and pieces of engineering innovation, financial aspiration, and human adventure lost at sea. New technologies, of course, have revealed them to us. Scuba, sonar, deep diving vehicles, and remote control devices that have enabled access, coastwise and miles down, to galleons, ocean liners, warships, and lesser vessels, each containing a cargo of information to be investigated, documented, and interpreted by the new nautical archaeologists. Various controversial issues have emerged. Many ships were pay ships or otherwise carrying gold, silver, and trade goods that today have accumulated tremendous economic value. Many reveal new evidence of shipbuilding techniques, armaments, the details of naval events, and the history of art and material culture. All are gravesites, demanding respect for the souls lost there. As such, conflict has risen between the competitive interest of financial return, academic information, and memorialization. Standards have been developed for inventory and historical priority, documentation and recovery, conservation and publication, and the distribution of the artifacts to government and museums and the commercial entrepreneurs motivated by the prospect of fabulous return. Indeed, an international treaty, the 2001 UNESCO Convention for the Protection of Underwater Heritage, was negotiated and ratified as international law to affirm such standards, procedural expectations, and the distribution of recovered value. Not all countries, including the United States, Indonesia, and others, have signed on. The outcome of all this is inconsistent, of course. Some sites are pillaged. Some are appropriately investigated and recovered. Some are left untouched. Here are two interesting recent examples. In 1998, a fisherman discovered what has come to be called the Bay Litung ship off the coastal island of Indonesia. The wreck was believed to be Arab, trading between the Middle East and China, and filled with 9th century Tang vases, blue and white porcelain, and gold and silver vessels. A German salvage specialist and treasure hunter, Tilman Walterfang, was contracted by the Indonesian government to begin immediate excavation that eventually led to the recovery of some 63,000 artifacts, 8,000 of which were retained by the government, and the balance were sold by Walterfang to a Singapore company for $32 million with the intent to create an international exhibition that would travel to the United States, yes, to the Freer Gallery of Asian Art, part of the Smithsonian Institution, in direct contravention of the UNESCO Convention. Ironically, curators at the Smithsonian's National Museum of American History and the Council of American Maritime Museums had been instrumental in the creation of that convention, and the Institute was caught in the jaws of opposing cultural standards and internal interests. A very public flap ensued, engaging historians and archaeologists against museum administrators and commercial entrepreneurs. Eventually, the exhibit, scheduled to open in spring 2012, was canceled. An alternative tale can be told of Project Ship Hunt, initiated by 5 students from Arthur Hill High School in Saginaw, Michigan, to explore nearby Thunder Bay National Marine Sanctuary on Lake Huron in search of historically meaningful sunken ships. The students conducted research in local newspapers, libraries, and historical societies, laid out their plan, and incredibly enlisted the support of Sony and Intel, NOAA, and Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute in an expedition that located the 138-foot schooner MF Merrick, lost with 5 crewmen in 1889, colliding in the fog with a steamship. A second vessel, the 414-foot freighter Etruria, was also discovered. The students literally ran the project, locating the sonar targets from a NOAA research vessel, working with the dive teams, learning to pilot the 2 remotely operated vehicles for camera and lights, and producing high-definition 3D images for editing and producing of web-based videos for online and physical exhibit at the Great Lakes Maritime Heritage Center. So which is it? Commercial exploitation? Historic preservation and learning? Who benefits? What is gained? What is lost? How should we remember? We will discuss these issues and more in future editions of World Ocean Radio.
World Ocean Radio is a project of the World Ocean Observatory, online at www.thew2o.net. World Ocean Radio is produced in association with WERU Community Radio, Blue Hill, Maine.